Good morning, church.
Good morning.
A very warm welcome to you all to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Today is the second Sunday in the month of May, 11th of May 2025. And I think this month makes us 9 years here. Ariel's birthday was 2 days ago. We arrived here on Ariel's birthday, so she's 1 year older. But she's not in church today like other young people who are away with our youth worker for the weekend. So we will remember them in our prayers. Chris tells me they are doing so well and they are enjoying their time away. We want to welcome those who are worshiping with us for the first time. I don't seem to see any, but if you are here for the first time, a very, very warm welcome to you. And also those who are doing so after a long while. And of course, those who come here every Sunday for worship. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are worshiping via Zoom. And those who will listen to our church service afterwards from our church website. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God, our first immortal, invisible God, only wise. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, majestic and merciful, we come before you, the one who laid the earth's foundations and called a people to yourself. As your word in Deuteronomy 4 reminds us, you are a consuming fire, a jealous God, yet abounding in compassion for those who seek you. Father, we acknowledge with humble hearts that we have often turned our eyes to lifeless things, forgetting the living God who delivered us and gave us laws of life and of love. We have grown complacent in comfort, neglecting your commands and walking in ways that grieve your spirit. But in your boundless mercy, you have not abandoned us. Your promise remains, if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. So now, O gracious Redeemer, we seek you. We return with repentance and deep sorrow for our waywardness. Forgive us, Lord, for the idols we have fashioned in our hearts, the pride, the selfishness, and indifference to others' pain. Cleanse us and restore in us the awe and reverence that belongs to you alone. Thank you for your patience, for you are the God who hears and answers. As you reminded your people of old, the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors. Hold us fast in that covenant love. We draw near to you now, not by our own merit, but by your grace. Teach us to walk faithfully, to remember your mighty deeds, and to pass on your truth to generations yet to come. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. 189.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Good morning. Hello, everyone. How are you this morning? Good. It's very good weather, so I think we are all feeling good. Is it too hot for you? No, it's not too hot. Okay. So what have you been up to this week? Yes, Chris? You had a barbecue just behind our home and you did not invite me. What did you have for barbecue?
I had a hot dog.
Sausages? Beef? Chicken? Many nice things. Good. Sure you enjoyed that. Anyone else? What did you do this week? School? The strawberry hut is also open. Did anyone visit? Yeah, you did? Good. Yes, Zara? You were doing exams. Oh, you are a big girl now. What exams are you doing? History and English. What level?
National 5.
Zara is doing National 5. I can't believe this. You're a big girl. Congratulations. So this morning, I want to talk to you about something Jesus told his disciples when they were worried and really scared about something. Have you ever found yourself worried and scared about something? Can you remember? Yeah? Worried and scared. Can you remember anything that made you worried? You can't remember, but you have been. That's still a good answer. At least you know that you have been worried. But let me give you a few examples. For example, you go to the shops, to a big shopping center with your parents, and then you are looking for them. You don't know where they are. Have you ever had that kind of experience? Maybe. Or maybe you lost your way. You were going somewhere and you suddenly forgot the right path to take. So it can be scary, and then you get worried. Now, Jesus Christ told his disciples that he was going to leave them to go back to his Father, to God. And they were really worried. They were even upset because they did not know what to do next. They had invested all their time following Jesus, and they knew he was a great teacher. So they were wondering what would happen to them. They were really worried. And Jesus told them, said some words to them, which are very, very important for all of us. He said they should not be worried. They should trust God, and they should also trust him. And then he added by saying that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. And those are some really very nice things to say to people who are confused. Don't be worried. Trust God. Trust me also. That's what Jesus says. So when Jesus says, I am the way, what does he mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, I am the way? Any answers? Any answers? I am the way. If somebody tells you I'm the way, what does it mean? It's the same thing like saying that, follow me. If you follow me, I will show you the right path in life. And so by saying that I am the way, Jesus is saying that if we want to go to the Father, we have to pass through him. But he's also saying that there are many good things that I teach you. If you follow my teachings, then you are sure of a good destination. So we come to church every week, or whenever we come to church, we come to learn from Jesus. We come to follow Jesus because he is the way. And then also he says, I am the truth. It means that what he tells us is true. His teachings are good. They are helpful. Sometimes it's difficult in our world to know what is true and what isn't, because we confuse truth with other things. And then he says, I am the life, meaning that if we follow Jesus Christ, he will give us life both here and in the world to come. So it's a good thing that we come to church. It's a good thing that we go to Sunday school. It's a good thing that we listen to the addresses which we give you every week, because they are about Jesus and they are about following him, because he is a good man and he leads us to places which are good. So let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you for our lives and we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But we thank you most especially for our children, that they continue to learn, to rely, and to trust you and our Savior Jesus Christ, who came into the world to show us the way to true life. Take the glory and the honor, for we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. As the deer pants for the water, 550.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 25 to 40, which you can find on pages 183 and 184 in the Pew Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 25 to 40. After you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and provoking him to anger, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him, if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened, or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire, as you have, and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation, by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds, like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that Lord is God. Beside him there is no other. From heaven he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land, to give it to you for your inheritance, as it is today. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. And the New Testament reading is taken from John 14, verses 1 to 11, and you can find it on page 1082 of the Pew Bible. John 14, 1 to 11. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Thanks be to God. And the next hymn is, O Praise Ye the Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we turn to your word, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak through the scriptures that we may hear your voice, know your truth, and follow your way. In the name of Jesus Christ, the living word, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let me think with you this morning on the theme, Following Christ in Troubled Times. Following Christ in Troubled Times. A few weeks ago, Florence and I found ourselves in a modern-day test of patience and trust, navigating the perils of Edinburgh Airport. We had followed all the rules, arrived early, checked in online, and triple-checked our gate. But as often happens, the board announced, delayed. Our fellow travelers sighed, mourned, and paced. A wee lad nearby tugged at his father's sleeve and asked the innocent question only a child could ask, "But Daddy, where is the plane?" The father bent down and whispered, it is coming, son. Trust me, we will get there. In that moment, I thought to myself, isn't that exactly where we all find ourselves spiritually at times, waiting for answers, for direction, for assurance? It brought me straight to Jesus' words in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words to his disciples at a time of crushing uncertainty. Judas had betrayed him, Peter would deny him, and Jesus himself was preparing for his departure. The ground was shifting under their feet. I think we know what that feels like. Our world is also troubled. Global conflicts, divisions at home, economic anxieties, and for many, a gnawing sense of spiritual displacement. And yet, into that anxious space, Jesus makes three important declarations. First, Jesus Christ says, I am the way. He does not offer a list of instructions or a GPS coordinate. He is the path itself. Life is not ultimately about mastering a perfect strategy, but following a perfect person. Deuteronomy 4 echoes this truth. If from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Moses warned the Israelites that in times of scattering and trouble, they must not look for shortcuts but should seek the living presence of God, who is always ready to be found. That is a powerful message for a time of uncertainty and shifting global leadership. Just this week, the world witnessed the election of Pope Leo. His first words from the balcony of St. Peter's echoed not political dominance, but the humble welcome of Christ, peace be with you. Pope Leo, an Augustinian, reminded the world of the disarming peace of the risen Christ, a peace, as he said, that is unarmed and disarming, humble and persevering. He paid tribute to his predecessor, Pope Francis, and continued the call to be bridge builders, followers of Christ, walking hand in hand with a hurting world. The church, Pope Leo stressed, must remain a missionary church with arms open to all who are in need of our charity, presence, dialogue, and love. His mantra seems unmistakable: be the church that goes out, not the church that withdraws. In striking contrast stands the highly polarizing political figure of the United States of America, President Donald Trump, who remains an undeniable force on the world stage. Trump's approach, rooted in nationalism and strongman rhetoric, often trades in slogans of self-assertion and power. Make America great again. His political mantra has galvanized millions, but frequently by drawing stark lines of division, us versus them, winners versus losers. His is the language of dominance, certainty, and transactional loyalty. His brand of leadership echoes the world's age-old temptation: strength without tenderness, victory without reconciliation. These two global voices could not be more different in tone and style. Pope Leo's moral vision for a reconciled world community is rooted in compassion and truth. President Trump's combative posture appeals to those disillusioned by globalism and institutional complexity. Yet, they may be more interconnected than we care to admit. Both are tapping into a deep human hunger for identity, belonging, and certainty in an age of fragmentation. Both shape conversations far beyond their immediate spheres. Populated from the seat of spiritual influence, President Trump from the pulpit of populist politics. For us Christian people, Jesus' words offer the clearest lens. I am the way. Not a slogan, not a strategy, not a sound bite, but a living relationship. In a time where both religious and political leaders shape global narratives, the church must remember that our first loyalty is to the one who leads not with force, but with a cross. We are not called to pick sides in a culture war, but to walk in the way of Christ, the way of self-giving love, radical hospitality, and quiet courage. Publio's call to build bridges echoes Jesus' command to follow the path that leads to life for all people. We must not look for quick fix solutions or political saviors, but remain grounded in the one who is the way. Secondly, Jesus proclaims, I am the truth. Not a truth, nor one truth among many. His truth is not the cold rigidity of coercive doctrine, but the living, rational truth of divine love, fully embodied in his life, words, and his works. As the great theologian Karl Barth reminds us, Jesus is the one word of God which we have to hear and which we have to trust and obey in life and in death. Friends, we live in an age saturated with relativism, where we are tempted to say all truths are equally valid. But Jesus speaks tenderly yet unambiguously into that fog. No, the truth that liberates is found in me. This past week, we witnessed the power of truth and the distortion of truth play out on the world stage. Here in Great Britain and across much of Europe, VE Day was marked with solemn dignity. King Charles III addressed the nation not with pomp, but with purpose. He urged us to remember the Allied victory over fascism and tyranny, not as a nationalistic triumph, but as a universal responsibility to safeguard peace, to stand against oppression, and to protect the dignity of every human life. His moving words, quote, "Let us be worthy of the sacrifice of that generation," echoed Jesus' call to live as people of truth and service. The Christian gospel does not permit the luxury of apathy. To commemorate VE Day rightly is to recommit ourselves to justice wherever human suffering persists. In Ukraine, in Gaza, in Sudan, or in the more silent yet devastating wars of poverty, racism, and inequality here at home. In chilling contrast, Russia's VE Day commemorations under President Putin told a very different story. In Moscow's Red Square, tanks and missiles rolled past the Kremlin in a show of raw power. Putin's speech cloaked itself in the language of sacrifice and patriotism, yet beneath it lay the glaring contradiction of an ongoing unjustified war against Ukraine. A war that has brought suffering to countless innocent civilians under the guise of historical grievance and national security. It was a distorted narrative, a manipulation of memory to justify aggression, where King Charles used remembrance to urge peace, Putin weaponized it to legitimize violence. The clash between these commemorations highlights the enduring tension between truth and falsehood, justice and domination. Jesus' words, "I am the truth," call us to discernment in such moments. The church cannot be silent. We are called to prophetically challenge all forms of deceit and injustice, whether they come dressed in the uniform of state or masked behind political rhetoric. We must stand with those who suffer under oppressive regimes and pray for the repentance and transformation of those who misuse power. As Christians, we are summoned to be people of both remembrance and resistance, to remember the past truthfully and resist the present untruths courageously. Truth, as Jesus teaches us, does not divide for selfish gain. It reconciles, restores, and ultimately sets us free. Beloved in the Lord, we live in a world of competing voices. Politicians speak of security, economists speak of prosperity, and philosophers debate meaning. Yet the voice of Jesus Christ remains, "I am the way and the truth and the life," not three separate paths, but one living road. So what does this mean for us as we stand in the midst of a world both captivated and conflicted by powerful figures and shifting ideals? It means that as followers of Jesus, we are not spectators to the drama of world affairs. We are not called to align ourselves with the bluster of temporary power, nor to retreat behind safe walls of piety. Instead, we are called to walk the way of the shepherd who leads not with clenched fists, but with outstretched, nailed, scarred hands. Our first allegiance must be to Jesus Christ, the one who did not just speak of peace, but became our peace. It is his life that gives shape to ours. It is his truth that still liberates captives. It is his presence that walks beside us when the world grows dark. Publio's voice may now echo in St. Peter's Square, calling the church to be a bridge-building community. Political giants will continue to wrestle for dominance, but the church's call remains the same as it was in the upper room with the disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Let us pray. Loving and faithful God, we thank you for the truth and hope we have heard in your word today. Plant it deep within us that we may live it out with courage and grace in the days ahead. Help us to follow the way, the truth, and the life, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to be light and peace in a world that longs for both. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Our next theme, words printed on the order of service, "In Christ alone my hope is found."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and faithful God, we bring before you these gifts, symbols of our trust in your provision and our desire to follow the way even in uncertain times. We dedicate these gifts and ourselves to your service, O Lord. May they feed the hungry, comfort the hurting, and speak peace into a fractured world. May our hands become instruments of your love, our voices carry the truth of your gospel, and our hearts remain steadfast in the journey of faith. Loving God, in a world that feels overwhelmed by conflict, division, and uncertainty, we lift our hearts to you. You alone are our peace, our anchor in the storm, our shepherd who walks ahead of us even when the path is unclear. We pray for your church, both near and far. Strengthen your people here at Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland to be faithful followers of Christ in troubled times. May we, O Father, courageously and in very small ways continue to do your work of healing and reconciliation in our community and beyond. Lord, we pray for world leaders that they may govern with wisdom, humility, and a commitment to justice. We lift up Pope Leo that his call for bridge building may inspire the church to embrace radical love and open arms. We also pray for restraint and reflection among leaders whose words and actions divide and harm. Turn their hearts toward peace. We remember all who suffer today, those living in the midst of war and displacement in Ukraine, Gaza, Sudan, Cameroon, and elsewhere, those weighed down by poverty, racism, and inequality in our own communities, those struggling silently with grief, illness, loneliness, and despair. We pray for King Charles III and all who work to honor the memory of those who sacrificed for peace. May we too take up the mantle of peacemakers in our time. Lord Jesus, you said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." In that spirit, we trust you now with the burdens we carry silently in our hearts, and we name them now in our hearts. Send us out from this place as witnesses to your hope. Help us to walk the way of the cross with courage, humility, and unwavering faith. We offer all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our hope and our Redeemer. Amen. We will now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Now thank we all our God, hymn 182, as we bring our service to a close.
in peace and serve the Lord.
The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.